Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, August 28th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We have a hoot of a show for you today. Now, this story's been going around for the last couple weeks or so about Mr. Mike Rupert. And we found out about this, about him going to Venezuela, about 3 weeks or so before he ever wrote his famous Swan Song article. What was it called? By the Light of a Burning Bridge, I believe. And this went all around the internet. But we knew about this way before because of the people that let us know. Well, now all of this information has just come out in an article by Mr. Robert Plain of the Ashland Daily Tidings. And anyone who's been following this story knows that in the spring of this year, Mike Rupert moved from the wilderness all the way up to Ashland, Oregon, from outside of Los Angeles. And before we get into the story, Lisa, I guess we should give everybody a little bit of background on Mike Rupert, okay? And we were...
Where do we begin?
Yeah. Well, we were the first person to have a really huge expose on Mike Rupert. Now, there were other people like Dave McGowan and a lot of people in the 9/11 groups that started exposing him, but it was more of a confined exposure, okay? It wasn't until the Wing TV article came out about 2 years ago that this really blew up. And do you remember, Lisa, the viciousness of the attacks that we received?
Oh, yes, quite well.
Yeah.
Mike Rupert, for those of you who don't know him or know of him, was a 9/11 researcher who took the 9/11 truth movement by storm. He wrote a big book called Crossing the Rubicon, in which he pinpoints Dick Cheney as the mastermind of the events of 9/11. And hence, more and more people have spouted that also afterward. He steered people away from the controlled demolition information from day one, and has threatened to sue just about everybody in the 9/11 truth movement / alternative media at one point or another.
Including us on, I believe, three different occasions, if I'm not mistaken. And Rupert also, he got his claim to fame in the 1980s when there was a CIA director, Robert Deutsch, I believe his name was, or John Deutsch, one or the other. He was out in L.A. having a meeting. This was during the height of the crack cocaine explosion, okay? And Mike Rupert just conveniently happened to be in the audience and asked why the government was involved in bringing crack cocaine into the ghettos of Los Angeles. Now, this was all caught on camera, and it was Rupert's calling card. Other people say this was the legend that was created around Mike Rupert.
Right.
That he's the...
He's a whistleblower.
Right.
Former LAPD police officer turned... conspiracy researcher.
Right. Now, as Lisa said, after the September 11th attacks, on September 12th, 2001, one day after 9/11, Rupert comes out and said there's absolutely no possibility that this was a controlled demolition. Now, at that point, who is even asking, except for very few people, about controlled demolitions?
Pretty psychic of him.
Yeah, but Rupert said, no, we got to look in a different direction. We got to look elsewhere.
Right. Anywhere but...
Right.
The truth.
And John Kaminsky also was badgering Rupert whether or not he thought Israel was involved. Well, Rupert kept saying, no, we got to look elsewhere. And his big pinpoint was Bush Cheney. That's where it was. And really, Dick Cheney the most. And that's what he covered in From the Rubicon, Crossing the Rubicon. So, in the interim after 9/11, in the year or so after, Rupert started spreading these big stories about a guy named Delmar Mike Vreeland. And anyone can read these stories. Go to the Wing TV homepage, center column, all the way to the bottom, click on Hall of Shame, and you'll see all the different Mike Rupert articles. Well, Mike Vreeland ended up being nothing more than a con man. He's in prison right now. Every judge and attorney across the country knows him as a con man. But at what point, Vreeland phoned Mike Rupert and said that Alan Greenspan, then chairman of the Federal Reserve, was trying to poison him. Okay. Alan Greenspan was trying to poison Mike Vreeland. So, of course, Rupert ran with this story. And it was just one cockamamie story after another, until finally Wing TV put out the big series of expose articles. And then people really started to look into Rupert. That's
right.
Shortly thereafter, then, he left the 9/11 movement, Lisa. And what did he do then?
He said we should all move on from 9/11, and he put 9/11 Truth Movement on the back end of an elephant in a graphic,
right.
Which was really a slap in the face, not only to every researcher and activist, but also to the families of the 9/11 victims and the victims themselves, to the memory of 9/11.
Right. Now, Rupert's star has been falling ever since. This spring, this last spring, when there was the big 9/11 conference in Chicago, all the 9/11 Truth Org people had a big battle as to whether or not they should invite Rupert. Well, the final determinant was that a lot of people said, if you invite Rupert and all his peak oil nonsense,
right.
We're not going to have it.
I was just going to bring that up because he had been trying to co-opt the 9/11 Truth conferences with his peak oil crap. And so they really didn't want to deal with that again at the next conference.
So they said, Rupert's not invited. Well, shortly after then, Rupert not only wrote a very defamatory article about this conference, but when the Pentagon released its latest bogus videotapes, guess who sided with the Pentagon and said, well, that's it. The truth, the 9/11 Truth Movement has just been destroyed again.
He's also pro-population reduction.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
That's a big red flag.
Yeah. So anyway, finally this spring, he moves up to Ashland, Oregon this spring, and a couple months later, there happens to be this big break-in at Mike Rupert's office.
Right, according to Mike.
Yeah, according to Mike. Everybody saw the pictures, these demolished computers and so forth.
Right.
And he blamed it on, first of all, meth addicts. Second of all, the government. The government, of course, was getting it. And third, on former employees. So
he blames everything on his former employees. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
If you had a scale, like, he must have, like, the worst former employees, according to him. Because look at all the different businesses and whatnot. Do they have as many former employees that directly sabotage their businesses as Mike Rupert does? It's just an astronomical percentage, I think.
Now, right from the start, we were getting reports from the insiders that know the whole Rupert camp that this wasn't a break-in by any meth addicts or anything else, that they said this was an inside job.
What they said was Rupert was a suspect in the investigation.
Right. Now, the reason why was they said that Rupert from the wilderness wasn't bringing in hardly any money anymore. The last month before this break-in, supposedly, now this is from our sources, they only took in a total of $1,600 for the entire month. Now, out of that, they have to pay for the rent on the building, their payroll, their utilities, their phones, and all other expenses.
Rupert had been holding out the tin cup periodically and did garner a lot of, according to Rupert, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. In fact, it was public donated money to him and his website that paid for the move.
Right, right.
To Ashland, Oregon, of Rupert, his employees, to start a new office in Ashland, Oregon. So, I mean, how much is the public expected to dole out time and time again?
Yeah. So, after this burglary on June 26, I believe it was, we started getting reports that Rupert was one of the suspects. So, let's go over, first of all, I was talking to Dave McGowan, who was really the first to write these big exposés on Rupert, and we were talking about meth addicts as the primary suspects, as Rupert says. Now, meth addicts, we know, want drugs, right? To buy drugs, what do they need?
Money.
So here's what the meth addicts in Ashland, Oregon are going to do. Instead of breaking into a stereo store or a jewelry store or holding up a convenience store or any of these other things, what they do is go out to an industrial park. Okay? An industrial park. And of all the buildings, they pick Mike Rupert's building. So they go in there, and instead of stealing the computers, now, when you steal computers, Lisa, what can you do with them?
Sell them.
You can sell them and get money.
No,
and then with the money,
they just got mad at the computers.
Yeah. But instead, what they did was they carefully took off all the outside covers, then carried them from one room to another room, put them all down, and smashed the computers. But they didn't smash them bad enough to injure any of the hard drives, because the hard drives,
amazingly,
of course, has all the information so that Mike can sustain his website and also put the tin cup out so that he can show these pictures of the burglary, and then people can send him donations. So
it's a miracle.
Of all the computers that were smashed up, no hard drives got injured. Plus, none of the monitors got hurt, and none of the keyboards. They just carefully unscrewed all the screws. These are meth addicts.
And moved them.
And moved them to another room and smashed them, but didn't hurt the hard drives, okay? So now Rupert becomes a suspect. Also, Lisa,
I guess they jimmied the door to our...
Yeah.
Someone did something to the door. It looked like they hacked at it.
Yeah.
With what? An axe or something?
Something, yeah. Now, also, as all this was happening, and we were the first ones to break this story, there was a woman, and
right.
We didn't reveal her name then. We're not going to reveal it now. Who claimed that Mike Rupert...
Sexually harassed her. While she worked for him.
Yeah. Now, let's get in. Now, what we did on the show on Wing TV was we read her statement.
Right.
And then a statement by Mike Rupert. Give both of them equal time. And one of the allegations was that Mike Rupert, while it was just her and him late one night at the office,
uh-huh.
He stripped down all his clothes and all that remained was his underpants.
Right.
Okay?
His black skivvies.
Yeah. And he was running around the office and posing like Superman
right.
in his black underwear. So read this part now. I think that's number 2 on there, the second section.
Rupert admits to doing this.
Now, this is from the article by Robert Plain, and he actually admits. So, Lisa, read this little section.
Okay. Quote, Rupert admitted to stripping down to his underpants and parading around the office. While he and the woman were the only two there, an accusation the woman made in her statement. However, he said his motive wasn't sex, but rather an attempt to uncover the woman's con.
Okay, so let's stop a second. Everybody out there, you're getting conned by someone. Either your neighbor, one of your work employees, a meth addict down the street. So the first thing you think of to really show that they're conning you...
Take your clothes off.
Take your clothes off so you're in your black underwear... And run around the office like Superman.
And do your best Shazam pose.
Okay.
To continue. I was trying to make her show her hand.
Wait, stop. Show her hand?
For what reason would he be making her show her hand in his underwear?
We'll just...
I don't know.
We'll leave it at that, okay?
I don't want to know. Okay. I was trying to make her show her hand because I knew she was up to something. Somebody was up to
something. Yeah. What was Mike up to?
He said, while sitting in his office, as Ashland police surveyed the 7 computers that were smashed with a sledgehammer in another room, Rupert says, I needed to cross a line to make her show her hand.
There's a lot about her showing her hand, huh?
Well, he certainly crossed the line there.
Yeah. So then,
showing her hand.
Yeah, read the next part then where he talks about being a lonely guy.
Where is it?
Next page. Yeah, right here.
Was I tempted? Rupert denies he harassed the woman, but said he was attracted to her. Was I tempted? Sure. Did I think she was cute? Absolutely. He added, nothing she said rises to the level of sexual harassment. I'm a 55-year-old, divorced, healthy male who is lonely. Is that a crime? The woman is afraid of Rupert and fears he might harm her. She doesn't believe that he is in Venezuela.
Yeah. This all kind of sounds like someone that would be capable of sexual harassment. Old, lonely, stripping down to his pants, running around his underpants, running around like Superman.
Hold on a second. He denied, I think, in the statement to us that he did all that, that he did the little underwear dance around the office. But he admitted it to this journalist in Ashland.
I mean, the visual. And if you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see Mike Rupert's new look. We call it the brownie sniffer look. And anybody that knows what
you
that means.
Yeah,
I call it that. But look at Mike's new look. It's quite appealing, to say the least. So anyway, so this was all happening, okay? Now, we started getting reports that the Ashland PD were looking into Mike's story and that he was definitely not ruled out, or he was under suspicion. Then all of a sudden, Rupert is in Venezuela.
Right.
We get a report and says that Mike's business manager, Ken Levine, was the one who escorted him across the border
into
Mexico. Yep, and then got him on a plane to Venezuela. Well, I called Ken Levine because I've had some dealings with him when Crossing the Rubicon came out. I said, hey, Ken. I'm on the phone with him. I said, Victor Thorne here, you remember me? He said, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, here's the story. Everyone's saying up in Ashland that this burglary was an inside job. Mike's one of the primary suspects by the police. And that what he did was he just hightailed it out of Ashland. That you're the one that escorted him mm-hmm. out of the country and got him on a plane to Venezuela.
And Levine says, no. Mike's just out of the country working on a hot story.
On a big story, right. So I said, Ken, are you telling me that you didn't get Mike out of the country? He says, absolutely not. Well, when Rupert's big article came out, near the end of it, he puts a big thank you in there. I'd like to thank Ken Levine, my manager, for getting me out of the country. So Rupert's lying.
They all lie.
Yeah, Levine's lying, and on and on and on. So, another entity that Rupert said was responsible for the burglary, of course, was the government. The government's out to get him. The meth addicts are out to get him. And his former employees are out to get him. And you know what it sounds like, Lisa?
Must be because he's such a friendly guy.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like cuckoo. Cuckoo. Now, one person even brought this up. This was someone that was involved in Rupert's sustainability network.
Right.
And he was questioning Rupert's mental well-being.
Is that number three?
I think right here. Read that last part right here. That's by the woman in question.
Okay. Rupert said he believes a former employee who he had fired weeks before the crime burglarized his office. The former employee thinks she knows who committed the burglary. I think he did that himself, she said.
Mm-hmm.
Ashland police are keeping an open mind. Officers would not rule out Rupert himself as a suspect.
So hear that? Officers would not rule out Rupert as a suspect.
At this point, the case is still under investigation, Deputy Chief Rich Walsh said. We're looking into both current and ex-employees. He added, we'd like to find out what the purpose of moving to Venezuela was.
Hmm.
It may have absolutely nothing to do with it, but we would like to know.
Yeah, so what they're saying is,
we would too.
If Mike Rupert's completely innocent,
mm-hmm.
if he's not under any suspicion, why all of a sudden, under the darkness of night with his business manager, and they scurry him across the border into Mexico and put him on a plane to Venezuela, why would he be doing that unless...
Well, I don't think it has so much to do with saving his life as he purports in his article.
Right.
I think it has more to do with saving his butt from legal consequences.
Exactly, yeah. So, anyway, what we have to bring up is the notion of severe paranoia. And mm-hmm. the guy that ran, one of the people in a sustainability network, questioned his mental well-being, said this looks like an example of depression and mania. And right at the end of this article, there's a point that many people have brought up, that when he was with LAPD, Lisa.
Oh, right.
He was on leave from LAPD until he was able to pass a psychological evaluation. Well, it doesn't seem like he ever passed that psychological evaluation.
He said, what was his reason why he turned, left the LAPD?
Oh, well, because his girlfriend at the time was involved with the CIA.
Oh.
She was running drugs.
And they offered to make him promote him if he would help them with their some drug operation. And I guess he turned that down.
But really,
what the LAPD documents say, he was put on leave until he could pass a psychological evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, cuckoo. And then
this whole scenario.
Yeah. Well, everything's just so over the top. It's like a big drama queen that's just consumed with paranoia. And after the burglary happened, here shows what kind of thought process this guy has. I guess right next door to Rupert's office was the U.S. Forestry Service, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he runs over there and asks if they have any surveillance cameras. And he says that the woman there in the office acted as if she was scared to death of him. Well, I don't blame her, because here's this lunatic coming over there like he's nuts.
Did he have his clothes on?
That part wasn't included. I mean, if he was stripped down to his underpants.
That's even scarier.
You know? But then, so he concludes, because this woman acted as if she was scared to death, that she had already known about the burglary. Okay? She already knew about it. Again, this rampant paranoia.
Cuckoo.
So, I just want to go back to when we first started publishing these articles on Rupert. And he was still the Messiah from above.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was worshiping Mike Rupert.
There's people still today.
I know.
People in the scholars group even.
Jim Fetzer.
That are singing his praises. He's a great guy, and Cheney, and they got it from Rupert. Rupert is a liar.
Yeah.
Rupert's a liar.
He's nuts is what he is. And he's one of the ones that have done more to distract people from the truth of 9/11 than anybody else in the alternative media. Anybody.
He betrayed the whole 9/11 truth movement. Yeah. A lot of people believed in him. And it was a bitter, bitter disappointment to many people. He was never one of my superheroes. Mine don't tend to wear their black skivvies out in front of other people. But he certainly let a lot of people down.
Right. And, you know, now that he's in Venezuela, all we can say is good riddance, Mike. Hope to not see you come back. Now, tomorrow, Lisa... Okay.
And check out his new look, too, in Venezuela. I guess that's to, like, so people won't know who he is.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow, Lisa's going to do the show by herself. Tell everybody a little bit about who you're going to
interview. I'm really, really, really looking forward to this. Laura Knight Yadchik from Signs of the Times website is going to be on the show with me. We're going to be discussing the new book. Well, it's not a new book. It's an old manuscript, but it's an awesome book. Political Ponderology by Lobachevsky, and I believe she and Henry C. from Signs of the Time edited that book. We're going to be talking about evil, psychopaths, and how this all relates to the what we see going on in the world today and within the 9/11 truth movement and alternative media.
That's right.
Now, very interesting.
And even though Lisa's going to fly solo on this one, I can't wait to hear this interview when it's done. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow. There's also, if you go to the Wing TV bookstore, you'll see this book out there, and it seems phenomenal.
I've also included the cover of the book, Political Ponderology, in our photo gallery, and today's photo gallery is actually themed around evil, conscience, psychopaths, and the choice that you have to make between good and evil. So it's dedicated to the Signs of the Times crew. I think they're doing a great job out there.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, we hope everybody had a good weekend. We have a whole other very action-packed week in front of us, so keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, Rupert might be around. See you then.